that meeting said, what the heck, you guys?
Yeah.
I'm ready for a break. roll call. Supervisor Gilmore and Supervisor Wanamel are excused, and I believe we have the rest of us here. And we have both unit governance here. So I would ask for approval of the minutes from the previous meeting if everyone's had a chance to review those minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Grady. Can I have a second? It's still on the table.
Sure.
Yes.
Supervisor O'Day, second by Supervisor O'Day. To approve the minutes of our previous meeting. Any discussion of that? All those in favor, use the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
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 So those are approved. Chairman, comments? You know, I guess we're done with all the big stuff here. The latest, and I believe we haven't talked about a whole lot, are the new grants that we received for the KD Park and mapping and things that are going on with that, and there's going to be an exciting new addition there with our finally having washrooms, having a the launch for the dive teams to practice and for handicap fishing and the other parking lot. So this is a very big thing that Mr. Collins and his staff have pulled off again for next year. And the new multi-use trail at the KD Park. Besides everything going on at all the other parks, with the connections out at Pence and with, there's a whole lot and a whole lot of projects that we're all gonna be hearing about. The, I guess not a whole lot else going on. I mentioned it jokingly, but I mentioned it at the last county board meeting about these emails I've been getting from this a woman named Rita Frankel. I mentioned it at the county board meeting because it involves this committee. And it was about some comments I made about the Kemper Center budget and the monies that we've given them in the past. So I left a packet for Rita Frankel at our last county board meeting. She contacted me again, which I was surprised, like the day after. And a packet was left for her by the county clerk at the desk with her name on it. And I didn't hear another word. So that's 2 weeks. It was on the 22nd of November. Today I got a new email saying that I was being less than whatever. But had ulterior motives to keep this information from her, and I emailed her again saying that I had given her all these chances. And so I talked to Jim this evening, and the same information that I was given was from Jim. Everyone can access this from the county board to anybody else. We're going to send that to her, but voice of the people. She had written a letter to the editor, and the Kenosha News did a reverse on that person and have decided that there is no Rita Frankel. And so I am responding to these emails, and I guess other supervisors have gotten copies of these, and just so I can't be accused of anything, but we're giving her all the information that we can. Just so everyone knows, and I guess you're all being copied on some of this stuff here. There's many thoughts of who Rita Frankel is, and as I said tonight, it's like Clark Kent and Superman. When one person's in the room, you don't see the other one. So we're pretty sure we know who it is, and keep your ears open. I guess everybody will get to know. That's all I have. Any other supervisors?
I just want to compliment Mike on the response to my email to Frank about the concern I had at the courthouse. He responded real quick. I think you took care of the problem, maybe. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate appreciate that.
If not now, we'll move on to golf. Dan, you still open?
Yeah, today was the last day.
You think so?
Yeah. We just sent out an email blast this afternoon stating that we're going to be closing tomorrow, and you know that the weather just doesn't look like it's going to be conducive for quite some time, you know, for the next 10 days anyway, and 2 weeks, and so. Yeah, we had a strong finish to the season. I mean, you know, we had some real nice weather. We had 173 golfers on Good Friday, or Black Friday, or whatever you want to call it, Friday after Thanksgiving, you know, so that was good. And there's been several days that we had 60 to 80 golfers, you know, in this nice weather stretch. So our holiday sale is going very well. We ordered some additional merchandise, actually, shoes and bags and things, because we were selling so many pieces of merchandise, you know, so it's going very well. So it's been a very good season. I mean, we've had a very strong season. The flood of July at Brightondale really, you know, hurt us. But our numbers, you know, besides that time frame, look really solid and really similar to the last couple of years where we set record revenue dates. So it's just, if we wouldn't have had that flood, you know, we would have been right in that same area, you know. So I'm real happy with the season and how it progressed, and received just very, very good compliments on Petrifying Springs. I've been there for the holiday sales and for the golfers lately, and even now, you know, they're amazed at how well the golf course has been maintained and the leaves have been taken care of and everything, and so that's great. The irrigation blowout went very well. All the core aerification that we did on the fairways at Brightondale went very well, so that really should help the conditions of the fairways out there. I hope you all know that Petrifying Springs won the best of Kenosha County 5 years running, and Brightondale was third. So great to be able to provide, you know, the best golf courses in this area for our constituents, and it's definitely a source of pride for us. We closed Brightondale on the 17th, which was the day before deer hunting started, and with the deer hunting in the Bong Recreation Area and just across the property line, people shooting guns. We just felt that it was the best time to close over there. And Pets, like you said, was just closed today. And then, we're having our holiday sale. If anybody wants any gift cards or golf merchandise, it's Wednesday through Saturday from 11 until 6, from now until December 23rd. People can stop in there and get discounted. We just brought in some great looking shoes and bags and Wisconsin Badger bags, and so they got a lot of nice merchandise there. So we're looking very, very much forward to a productive off season. You know, we got a project list for both facilities, so we'll be working on that. We're going to be booking group events. We're going to be restocking the golf shop, looking at merchandise for next year. We'll be tuning up all the equipment, sharpening everything up, freshening up the clubhouses to get ready for the 2018 season. And last couple projects that we're working on, well, the winterization went real well of the golf courses, and now we're working yet on the tree planting. Kenosha Landscape is coming, and they're going to be planting about 170 trees yet on the golf course. You know, they finished up at Petrifying Springs Park, and now we have it all laid out where it's all staked and painted, where they're going to be taking a tree spade and putting in about 170 trees of about, I think, 28 different species, so that the ash tree problem will never happen to us again, where one species is targeted by an invasive and wiping it out. So we're really looking forward to getting the new trees in and the difference that it'll make on the golf course. I think it'll be really enhancing it, protecting golfers. So that's what's happening in golf.
Thank you, Dan. And the shop at both courses is open, or just at Petrie?
Just at Petrie. Took all the merchandise from Brightondale, made it, ordered it over to the Irving course so that there's more access to it.
Any questions for Dan? Yes?
Just a comment. I was talking to Matt before the meeting here just about the reforestation at Petz, and primarily I'd seen it on the golf course. But I think people who go to Petz in the spring will be pleasantly surprised. I mean, even just by the tee-off area of hole 17, where you go up the big hill, I mean, there's at least 4 to 6 new trees that are going just adjacent to that tee area. So as people are walking through that path that separates the two sides of the course, so it's going to be really a nice look. It's really not just replacing the dead species trees for vacant spots, but it's also adding to the overall look of the golf course and the park. So I think it's going to be quite a good thing.
Those will be flowering crabs and service berries and that kind of thing that can be seen both from the park and the golf course too, so it'll be real pretty.
Anything else for you? If not, thank you, Dan. We'll move on to Mike.
Okay, we'll take a little about 30 seconds. First one is the focus on energy spreadsheet. There's no changes to it, but I included it for reference if you wanted it. I guess just a note to summarize where that is right now. I calculated up annual savings so far. We're at $56,651 to date. It doesn't include maintenance cost savings or anything like that, just the dollar savings per year. To date, also the focus on energy incentives are $27,986. The ongoing project list, the KCDC fire alarm panel replacement project was completed on November 7th. So that started and ended pretty quick compared to the one for this building. Everything went really well on budget. And then the other project on the list is the KCDC UPS replacement project. We went to the Finance Committee for approval of funds to shift. That was approved and we've got a new unit ordered. Delivery date is expected to be the 18th of this month and we're hoping to get it installed before the year is over. So we'll see how that goes.
Mike, just so everybody knows, what is a UPS?
Uninterruptible power supply, UPS.
So it basically covers that gap.
8 to 10 seconds.
That 8 to 10 seconds before a generator kicks on to keep mostly sensitive electronics, IT and stuff for the building. In fact, all of the IT that manages the internal security for the facility. If you don't cover that blip, that stuff goes down. And then to get it back up is not a 5-minute job. So with that UPS there, it bridges that little gap and then everything just runs like normal. So it's a critical function item.
It's different though when my daughter turns on the hairdryer and the Christmas lights run and the breaker goes.
I was going to say, you know that 10 second period if your lights run lower, that's my flashlight?
Yeah.
Well, this is just not a little UPS either. A little UPS is probably about this thick and about this wide.
Yeah, I got good lights. I don't have cheap shit out.
Yeah, just a little. This one has about 30 car size batteries.
Right.
Big.
Anything else, Mike? Any questions for Mike? They did a lot of projects. They were wrapping up. Things are going quite well. Yes,
we're just talking about cost savings. We're talking about focused energy. That's one way of looking at it. But also in your department, we have a couple of full-time equivalents that actually is one HVAC and one is electrical. Okay. And I don't know if that's able to be quantified, but I do know that every time you go to bid and you have to hire an outside contractor, you're paying a certain amount. It's costly, and you can't necessarily get them when you need them. So I think with the way we're going as a public entity, as the Kenosha County, the foresight to have these people as a part of our staff is good. I don't know, Jim, can you put a dollar?
We did it when we justified the existence of the two positions, but I'll see if we have anything.
That'd be good just to bring forward at some point to say, okay, this is how we're progressing. These are the costs that we're doing better, in addition to better service.
And I'll add more to that. These guys are so busy. A lot of times they're putting in overtime. And they're not just doing facilities projects. They're working with IT, the sheriff's department, and just golf parks. It filters out to everybody. I mean, we're all all sharing things now. So we're saving those departments tons and tons of money. So it's a really good thing to a point I'd even like to think about doing for a phone. Seriously.
We're fortunate.
What happens is when you have these busy seasons, construction demand happens in the, you know, heavy time of the season, June, July, August, and so forth. You can have as much need as you want, but if the contractor's not available to do another project, you're just not going to get it.
Yeah.
You're without it.
And these guys do so much for us in those two areas that sometimes the building chiefs have to call and say, you know, our electrician Mike is too busy. What electrician should I call?
Right.
That. They all had their two or three or favorites they would call right off the top of their head years ago.
Right.
Now they've forgotten those guys. They don't use them anymore. Very rare. So it saves a lot that way in contractors, let alone projects.
I was just going to add that we're really fortunate that the two guys we've got to are really ace guys. They're top notch technically and personality wise. They work well with everybody, they have the right.
Can do,
let's figure it out, let's help these folks out. They're just, we really have two solid guys in those positions. It's really a good situation.
Anything else for Mike? All right, we'll move on to projects.
I'll take care of Frank, because Frank is sick today. Public safety building generator replacement. That project, I'm considering it complete. It's functionally, everything is working. We do our weekly tests. Everything's performing the way it's supposed to. The only piece that we've got left to tie up is tying up, from a software standpoint, the monitoring software for that unit. We've never had this. This is the first one that we really have in the county that's going to have this monitoring software. That's not completely in place yet. But everything that generator needs to do, it's capable of doing now, and has been tested on a weekly basis. So it's performing exactly the way it's supposed to. So that's what's going on with that. The public safety building, second floor addition, tons of progress was made in November. Biggest thing is that the fleet maintenance building was completed, and they started their move in there the first week in November, 11-6. Fleet maintenance is completely in the building now, and they were, I'm not gonna say fully operational, they're operational in there the week of Thanksgiving, 11-22. And demo of the old fleet maintenance area on the west side of the PSB, that started actually last week, Monday. So they're in there. The space itself, I was hoping Frank had a couple pictures, because for those of you that hadn't been in that building when we first got it, it was really incredible. It was like hoarders cubed kind of a thing. And now it looks, I mean, it's still an old building, but it has got, there's five lifts on one side of the building. There's two grade level service bays, all their equipment. It's just, and there's a mezzanine up above where they store all their tires in the old, because they've got winter tires and summer tires. In the old situation, they used up two to three bays just to store their tires that they lost then as service bays. Now they've got all this. It really is really going to be a great facility for them. So that's in place. That's considered. We're considering that piece of the puzzle done. The second floor build-out of the PSB for the Sheriff's Detective Bureau, they're actually started moving in. If they didn't start this afternoon, because I know they got occupancy this morning right before lunch, they're start tomorrow. So the Detectives Bureau from the Sheriff's Department will be moving up to the second floor. It's mainly on the west side of that building. The EOC is going to be on the east side of that second floor. That is in progress. The AV, which is pretty substantial to that, that's in process right now. The goal is to have the EOC operational by the end of January. That's the next big piece. And then, actually, this next week, we start demolition on the old Sheriff's Department. It'll be next week, actually, yeah. That we'll start demolition on the old Sheriff's Department Detective Bureau once those guys are all moved upstairs. And Joint Services Administration, current, that's going to be demoed as well. So those areas will be then under remodeling while the ME's office space is being demoed and recreated in the old fleet maintenance area. So those are all the pieces that are going to be in play. Everything should finish up, which would be the ME space, them moving into the building by April 1st. So there's quite a bit that's taking place, quite a bit yet to do, but they've hit some big milestones. So that's pretty much everything with the safety building project. And then courtroom, the demo's been complete. Construction activities, that are in play right now in that courtroom are wall refinishing. They're prepping for installing the millwork and doing the prep for AV installation. They may finish by the end of the year, but more likely it's going to be a couple weeks into January is what we're projecting for that, which will be fine with the court schedule the way it's set up right now. So those are the projects that we've got going in facilities under Frank's jurisdiction right now. Any questions on any of that?
Anyone? If not, we will move on to highways.
Okay. Clement is up at the Commissioner's Conference, so right. I'll hit some of the highlights. As you've probably seen, if you've been driving around, if you've seen orange trucks out, they're generally doing crack filling. There's still a lot of brushing work taking place. Anything that we can do that's going to make the winter maintenance activities easier and preserve the road conditions, those are the kinds of things the guys have been involved in. So they've been working on state roads as well as local roads in that regard. Moving to projects, County Highway S and H, the big intersection. There's a couple of things here. Public information meeting was held November 16th. About 65 folks came from the whole stretch. Basically, there was residents that lived as far as Amazon, right next to Amazon, all the way up to 31. There was quite a few folks that attended. The general impression was that folks were curious. There wasn't any comments that I heard that were negative about the project. There were people concerned. There were people that wanted their whole property to be bought because they want to move, as opposed to just getting right-of-way purchased in front of their house because they know that it's going to be, everything's going to be developed. But overall, everybody was supportive of it. And now they're incorporating some of the comments that were made and some of the questions into the design to finalize some of those design parameters for both the first phase and second phase of the project. While that's going on, our ongoing FAA RPZ thing, we were supposed to hear this week. Clement sent me a note that he received via email today, and he talked to me late after the conference was over this afternoon, that the FAA gave their approval. I don't know if the city guys, if you've
seen
it yet.
I've heard some of this, but I'm anxious to hear what you hear.
Yeah, it's a short note. It's about three paragraphs. It's about this long, and it's from the FAA, and it said, they don't come straight out and say, yeah, we agree with the option you guys selected. They basically say, we see you have exhausted your analysis of everything, so that's it. And so then he called Gary at the FAA Chicago office, said, okay, does this mean that we're cleared for takeoff? And he said, yeah, now we have to do the concurrent use agreement, which all the legwork has been done on that. Now we're free to move forward with that. So I believe the next step is us getting that formally pulled together with Ari Smith, getting it to the city, and then pulling things together so it goes back to the BOA. But this, at this point, as I understand it, should be kind of a fait accompli because we've gotten through the first part of this thing, which would ultimately result in us constructing the intersection the way it was originally, the original design that we had with some slight modifications.
What kind of property acquisitions are going to take place that corner, if any?
On the south side, nothing. On the north side, I know that there's negotiations that I'm not involved in between the Village of Summers and the property owners right there, the saloon, and there's some right-of-way needed from the other side, which is owned by a church, the northwest corner. The northeast corner, yeah, I don't know exactly where it's at, but I know the Village of Summers is involved in that process.
I kind of heard that the village really isn't doing anything about it as they're trying to negotiate with the county executive to get them to pony up some money for it. I also then heard that there's a feeling within the village that, well, if we wait long enough, maybe the FAA will get involved, knowing that these will fall within the runway protection zone. So that's why I ask, because it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of motivation from at least one of the players to really do anything.
So you've enlightened me, because I didn't know the level of what you
said. And it may be hearsay, yeah. But I heard it from a fairly good source. So.
It's totally plausible. Yeah, so I just haven't been involved in that part of it. I know that Summers was supposed to be taking the lead on it, so if they're not, then there could be some conversations taking place between Jim and I will do that.
Is that the tavern at the Alderman or former Alderman home?
No.
No, it's farther west.
That was actually purchased by the airport property. That was purchased by the city of Kenosha a month ago.
Okay.
And as I understand it, the FAA has opened up the floodgates with money, and they're pursuing purchasing Barb and Jones Hangar, which is on H.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then there's a little warehouse that's right on that hard corner as well. And then there's some other property a little bit further west that they may acquire as well. So I don't know if their plan is to get involved with Dickie Rickies, because I think most of those folks think that that's a local thing that's going to be handled.
But like you say, it is in that runway protection zone as well.
And the backstory that I'm hearing from the Fed side is that, well, it'll be 2 to 3 years before they're ready to start moving dirt on a runway expansion at the airport. And seeing as that it's going to be that far down the road, go ahead and do whatever it is you have to do to that intersection now if we, the Fed, the FAA, decides that something needs to change, then they will pony up the dollars to change the intersection. And the suggestion that I'm hearing is that, and I'm sure you saw this, the whole intersection kind of moving north into the east into the industrial park that's there. But yeah, that would be on their time.
A second. So. Yeah. Interesting. I will check with Jim to see what his tea leaves look like as it relates to Summers.
It's a word on the street, so
okay.
Hopefully it's not true.
So that's all I know about that, and you filled in a lot of gaps as well. I'll move on to H and Bain Station. That is semi-officially open today. I drove through it myself just to check on stuff. There's still the contractor's still doing work to install lights temporarily. There's some cleanup stuff, but it's all paved, striped, and the landscape stuff, and like I say, some lighting stuff that needs to be done. It should all be complete by the end. I think they're still shooting for the end of this week for it to be complete, but it might actually be to the 15th now that I'm thinking about it, because I talked to Clement about that this afternoon. I think it's the 15th that's actually supposed to be all complete. But it is open. All the construction signs are down. And I think it'll be it appears to be, we've got some good roundabouts in Kenosha County, city and county, and we got some really bad ones. I think this is going to be a good one based on the geometry. I think that we've got a good one at...
What constitutes a good or a bad one?
Okay.
I'll tell you where we're at.
Without getting too...
Well, I know exactly where a bad one is.
Yeah.
That was done by the city.
A good one is at CNMB. We virtually eliminated crashes that were there. There was always a number of serious crashes every year. It smoothed the traffic flow. It literally went in. There was no complaints from anybody in the community.
If you were traveling north and south, you know, that was heaven, because now you don't have to wait for...
Right. You can cross safely. So that's a good example of one. I think the one at C&H was also a well-received three-way intersection, kind of goofy to cross. That smoothed things out.
That was great.
The one that is the poster child in my mind for bad is Lincoln Boulevard.
Yes. That, without question.
Well, you know, it is, I think it's a textbook example of how to never do something. It's that bad. So those, that would be...
Plows through it.
Right. It's just, yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah, it's too bad. Because it was one of, I think, the premier streets in the city of Kenosha, and that really is a blight. So those would be my things of good and bad.
I would agree with that.
Pike River Trail project, quite a bit got done on that in the month of November as well. the stretch that is basically from 56th Avenue to 31 along the south side of KR is complete. Probably going to have to do some fine-tuning in springtime landscaping-wise and some stuff, but the bridge is in, and it's basically that section is complete. The section, that section we did, the county crews did that section. The bridge was constructed, obviously, by a contractor. Then the section that's from A, Pets, basically, all the way to the KR, there will continue to work on that. The contractor, that's Zenith Tech, and they were supposed to pour, actually, the bridge that goes over the Pike River today. Now, I don't know if that happened.
The trucks were out there.
So they were out there, yeah, because they were planning on getting that poured today. And then they will continue to work on the boardwalk and some of the other features until the weather just completely shuts them down, which could be coming now based on what the weather reports are. But that should be really, Mount Pleasant is scheduled to do their link in next year, so it'll be a continuous link between Kenosha and Racine. And I think it's really going to be a quality addition to the whole trail network. That's where that is. KR Trail, that's complete. 45, I think most folks know that live out in this neck of the woods that opened up officially. I think it was like 11, right before Thanksgiving. So everything's cleared off. If you get a chance to drive down.
Well, you got to drive down.
Right, just to see the.
I did, yeah, just to see. But you're not irritating anybody now.
It's right.
Just, you drive down. Nice.
It really changes the whole complexion of Bristol, too, and to the better, I think. So that's all done. I think those were the main things he had on here. Just trying to think if there was another. But I think that covers everything that Clement and I went over. Yeah. Any questions on highways?
Bill?
Just to follow up on the airport, and Steve can chime in here if you're so inclined. The big thing is the expansion of County SR-142 west of H to the interstate. Additional two lanes on the north side, correct?
West of H?
It'll be
four lanes from when it's all said and done from 31 to the interstate.
Are we precluded in the RPZ of having H be expanded to four lanes at some point?
So, the area north of S, right next to First Industrial, that is already planned to be four lanes going north. And with the little bit I know at this point from Foxconn, I'm going to say in the not too distant future, I'm hesitant to put a date on it, it's going to be four lanes, H will be four lanes from S all the way to KR. Because at KR, it will definitely be four lanes going north. And then there's the gap in between S to Highway 50. And exactly where that falls in the process, I don't think we've got that drawn on the map yet, but yeah, that would be the last section. So
right.
That would
does
be the
RPC preclude going south of S, four lanes on H?
To my knowledge, no. What happens quite often, if there is a really strong desire to have everything cleared out of the runway protection zone, have that all part of airport property, that is what they want to do always. If it's impossible, such as currently a runway protection zone on the western portion of the airport runs into I-94, that will never get moved. So the FAA just says, okay, just be careful. In this particular case, I think if funds are available a couple of years down the road, regardless of what the municipalities do, if they want it moved, they will do it solely on their dime. And that would just mean instead of having a perfect straight line in either direction, it becomes a like this, and then it encroaches upon. Certainly, Icky Rickies would be gone. There's some grassy area that leads into their detention basin, that would all get encroached upon with the street. But like at that time, this option may be a $15 to $20 million option, and if there are funds available to do it, then fine. If not, then probably not. If I were a betting person, I would say the intersection of H and 142 will probably stay as is, and the RPZ is going to fall into that intersection. They're just going to live with it.
I just had a question.
Yes.
The repair work they were doing on 31 north of Highway 50, just that patching, concrete patching, mm-hmm. is that something that's done with the state now, or do they continue to get more of it?
I'm not sure if that's done yet, because that's been going on for about 6-8 weeks now, and it seems like when we get done with another section, they add another section that they want us to do. So they're doing it to preserve and lengthen the life of that whole thing, but it's a challenging thing with the amount of traffic that's on 31.
Yeah. But it's been a benefit to the county in some ways too.
Yeah, it's revenue. Every guy that's out there, we're getting state revenue for, and it will lengthen the life of that road.
It is improving it quite a bit. It just was a surprise that it came on. You know, all of a sudden it's like there. That's typical of the state too.
Mm-hmm.
They found money there.
They found money.
Yeah. Wanted to spend it.
So there is one last thing that's interesting, is our state local field rep for state DOT, he actually, really solid guy, Dennis Shunk, and he was probably in that position 5 years or more, maybe 7 years. He just took a position with the city of Kenosha. So he's actually, I think he started this week, and so yeah, we're just hoping. We had conversations. We sat down with the state and talked to them about what we want to see in his replacement, and hopefully it's somebody like him, because the person we had prior to him was very, very, very challenging. And we had a meeting with the state last week to explain we don't want to go back to that. So we'll work whatever you need to do in the interim here, but we want to end up where we were. So yeah, so that was that, because that will affect some of the operations here going forward.
Thank you, Ray, for doing those two, and we'll move on to Mr. Collins.
All righty, just a few updates this evening. First one being roof replacement project schedule. We're actually going to be starting on our roofs, multiple roofs, starting tomorrow, actually. And we did add in an additional roof for the Anderson Arts Center on the gift shop. If you remember, during those July storms, it only got worse, where that flat roof, a small area, was showing a lot of storm damage and ceiling tiles were caving in. So we received a few quotes, and Kasich, they were awarded the quote for $6,300. So we're going to wrap that into the rest of our roof projects this fall and winter. Next thing we have is we did finish the fish stocking at KD Park. We put over 1,300 fish into that lake. So that's going to be a bonus, as Supervisor Elderman noted, that there's going to be a lot more activity within the park, especially with the new addition, so plenty of fish for people to go fishing. Next, at Silver Lake Park, you might have seen it in the newspaper, but we had Gateway over at Silver Lake Park, and they're doing a lot of their classrooms outdoors, where it's real-life examples of how to fell a tree, how to properly prune, and we wanted to offer that facility for Gateway Technical College to bring their students out there and train them, because those jobs are going to be more and more demand, especially with the ash tree situation, a lot of private homeowners, that there's definitely a demand for those positions. And this is a new program that Gateway's offering, and we want to partner with them as much as possible, because, yeah, we can do it, but we want to obviously have our staff focus on other things if possible, but also just offer that classroom setting for Gateway. So that was a bonus for us this last month, and hopefully they can be out again. Next, at Petrifying Springs Park, as Dan mentioned, with reforestation, not going to be redundant, but they did finish all of the trees on the park side of things. So since they were able to move right off of the parkway without doing a lot of turf damage, they wanted to hit that first, because the weather cooperated for that. Now that temperatures are getting a little bit cooler, I just touched base with Kenosha Grounds Care. They should be out there the next few days, now that things firmed up, they won't be doing any turf damage on the golf course. And last but not least, Old Settlers Park. We've been doing pavilion improvements to that facility, to the restrooms, new floor on the men's room side, new partitions. We purchased new LED lights for the exterior and interior of that pavilion. And that's all I had for this evening.
Any questions for Matt?
Is there anything new to report regarding the condition of the shoreline by Kemper Center?
In regards to that newspaper article in the Kenosha News, there is minimal debris that gets washed ashore, and that was hardly a cough and a sneeze from Lake Michigan, and it really shot that out there. We do have a turf cat with a conversion broom that takes care of all those small little pebbles and debris to keep that pathway open and accessible. But other than that, we did have a meeting with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and this is in regards to all southeastern Wisconsin at a big picture plan as far as Lake Michigan goes. So we're in the preliminary stages of working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on seeing what we can do holistically with their assistance. So we have another meeting scheduled in the next couple weeks to see with Racine County, City of Racine, Mount Pleasant, City of Kenosha, Kenosha County. We have representatives from all the municipalities to really discuss on how to further protect all the shoreline, because everyone's having the same erosion issues, not only at Kemper Center, but the whole entire southeastern corridor.
It sounded as, well, not as if, but sounds as if, I mean, we're talking about, you know, rather significant dollars to shore everything up. And was there ever an expectation that the federal government might participate in financial assistance? And are you hearing that at this time there's no money because they're focused on disasters, you know, Houston area and Florida and whatnot?
I think they're getting to that point through the study to see truly through that analysis of what's really needed, because everyone's thrown in applications for coastal restoration plans, and they kind of hit the timeout button saying, listen, everyone's having these same problems. Let's look at it a big picture and then see if we can do something for a whole entire corridor, which might be more economical over the longevity of this problem than nickel and diming. Right. Now, Mount Pleasant has more of an immediate need right now where houses are falling in.
Right.
So they want that federal assistance and aid now, whereas Kemper Shoreline, yes, we are receiving erosion, but where is it on that tier structure? It's probably a little bit lower. And if we can get federal assistance to do our design and engineering, maybe that would help us out to get to that next phase of actually asking for that dollar amount to get that project done with.
There's no imminent danger to any parkland or even citizens walking by that they're going to crumble and fall into the water?
I wouldn't put it that far, no, nothing like that. We had a piece of the actual multi-use path that cracked, I think, 2 times now, but nothing where it's going to undercut and wash someone away. It's not at that much of a concern right now. But we are losing property at the same time that you do see it year after year that the waves are toppling over, scoring on the other side of where we had the revetment because it wasn't done properly or just sifted into the lake, and it's starting to eat away as the waves crash over.
Well, if you go further south of the water treatment plant into the sand dunes, I mean, you can see, mm-hmm. you know, just how untreated property is falling in at a rather alarming rate.
And I think that's state property with the sand dunes.
Sure. Could be. I do know all the grass there is protected, so whether it's state land or Pleasant Prairie.
Because the DNR was present at this meeting as well with the Army Corps.
And I believe that the executive and the mayor met earlier this year to try to get at least what kind of dollars they're talking about for the whole Kenosha. Basically, that was just Kenosha. And then I believe the mayor actually delivered that information to Army Corps folks out east, went out to Washington, and as part of another trip that he was doing, that he delivered that message so they could at least start. And I think that's where these meetings actually are the result of those initial conversations. So the thing's starting to develop, because it's not going to get better. So it's going to get
significant dollars.
Significant dollars, yeah. I don't remember the dollar amount that was estimated for all of Kenosha, but yeah, it was significant.
The city's portion, as I heard, was $30 million.
Yeah, I want to say the total was somewhere 50, 60, 70, something like that. Big numbers.
Super. Thanks.
Anything else for Matt?
Yes.
Any updates on the Kemper property and the remodeling?
I did contact Lisa Drutsky, and Gary Baranke does have a home in Florida that he likes to visit. So he's in Florida currently, so when he gets back within the next week or so, he's hoping to sign all necessary documents. So that project was approved by the county executive after we vetted the process. So it's just a matter of fact of Kemper Center taking the reins, and then I'll help oversee the project as needed from a property owner standpoint.
So the contractor has been selected and was already brought forward, right?
Correct. Yep, those were the quotes that they presented from Oddjob, Larry, Lee Plumbing were the two main ones.
So just for your perspective, if you just have a guesstimated date of beginning this project in terms of construction, is it going to happen?
It really depends on the contractor's schedule now. So even they sign off, I personally haven't been in conversations with those contractors to see when they're available. I know that they would like them to start the day after they sign it, but based on what Mark Molinaro has shared, the completion of that's going to take, I think, 3 to 5 months, he said.
You said five, and well, he presented it to all of us. We all heard this. He said 5 months, and it would be probably into early summer.
So I'm hoping that they can stick to that schedule still.
I think there's a fair amount of interest, just, you know, going out and circulating, you know, campaign solicitations and so forth. People are interested. They're kind of like, oh, that's really cool, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good project. Good to hear.
Thank you.
Anything else for Matt? Right.
Brookside update. Work continues on renovation of the original building. Painting's well underway. Ceiling grid installation is pretty much complete. Millwork installation is in process, and kind of the finer mechanical aspects of things are being put in place. State's going to come down actually next Monday to do their inspection of everything above the ceiling before we can kind of seal things up. That's always a big deal. They're going to be down. It's usually a 3 to 4 hour walkthrough. And we're hoping at that same time to not only get that all approved so we can seal everything up, but also going to ask permission to occupy the 300 wing. The 300 wing is the wing that connects the old building with the new building. That's where all the PT activities are going to be. There's no resident rooms in there. But we designed everything in a way, from a fire alarm standpoint, from a fire suppression standpoint, from a nurse call system standpoint, from all these different, that we could, if they grant us permission, we'd go to the city to get occupancy for that 300 wing. It will allow us to move all the PT functions out of the basement up there where it's going to be permanently. It would eliminate a lot of elevator travel, would start the transition of getting people all where they're supposed to be, and take a lot of pressure off staff in Brookside right now. So we're hoping to do that and have that approved so that we could start that before the end of December. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to do that. But final move into the renovated, all the renovated parts of the building would be mid-March yet for the rest of the residents. But if we could get that first step in place, would be a big move. That's pretty much it on Brookside in terms of what's going on out there. Department report. All division activities really remain at a fairly high level as we continue to wrap up projects and plan for next year's projects. The KCDC storage building project made significant progress in November as well. All the building's walls, roof are complete. The concrete floor was finished last week. All site work is substantially complete. Paving was completed last week. Windows are installed. Door installation should be completed by Friday this week. Electric and mechanical, IT stuff is all going. They're starting now that the floor is in. Heat should be in the building and functioning by next week. We're hoping to secure at least temporary occupancy by the end of the month. So that has made good strides finally, and hopefully we'll be able to move the sheriff's department in there around the first of the year, and then that building should really help out with their operations, storage-wise as well as vehicle evidence. And then in the last few weeks, we've started to get invited to Foxconn development meetings from the DOT. We met with the DOT, I believe the executive's meeting with the Department of Administration tomorrow, and we will be keeping the committee informed as to what's happening with that, at least our role in it. As the months go forward now, every month we'll have updates on Foxconn-related stuff, because there will be stuff that's we're going to actually be fairly deeply involved in, just given the nature of KR and H and some of the alternate routes they're going to have to construct while those roads are under construction and the plant itself is under construction. I don't think that anybody's really got their head completely around it because it's just such a massive, massive project. But there'll be more information that we'll be sharing with you as things move forward, because it will have an impact on us. That's pretty much it from our end.
I just want to add, on Brookside, we just approved the expenditure is $16,000 for the new beauty shop.
Oh, okay.
But it came from donations from Ralph Tenuta, and it's going to be named after his wife, too. So that was her thing at Brookside when she was there.
And it's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be top beauty shop, twice as really, big as what it was.
It's beautiful space.
Can you go there?
No, but Bob Pitt said he was going to start barbering that.
Anything else from anyone?
Just going to say tomorrow night's meeting then. The only reason we've got that special meeting is there's three land-related things that we thought we could kind of kill multiple birds with one stone, finance and public works at the same time, and those will go right to the board tomorrow.
So 6:30 we meet in the second floor time.
I think it's 6:15.
6:15 is the finance committee.
They can if you want to. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yep, tomorrow.
Well,
it's 6:30.
6:30 at the administration building. You don't have to. But if you're there in town and you're
supposed to be there.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're good. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, gentlemen. Sign.